Take your Bible and turn with me, please, once again to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, I'm going to begin reading with verse 1. Verses 1, 2, and 3 comprise one sentence, and while on the last broadcast we looked at verse 1 and verse 2, starting with verse 3 is a little awkward, so we'll just start once again with verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. End of the sentence, when you get to the end of verse 3. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You'll note, please, that he lists these several characteristics in verse 1 as being incompatible with the new life in Christ, being redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, talking about purifying your souls, obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, and the word of the Lord endureth forever. For these reasons, lay this stuff aside. And while you're doing that, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if so be you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. If you have found the Lord's forgiveness, if you have found that he can save the soul, in other words, if you have given your heart to Christ, then you need to grow. That's the essence of verse 3. If so be, you've tasted the Lord is gracious. You have experienced. Now, he uses the word taste here because it ties in with the imagery that you see in verse 2. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. Babies, if you've ever given them anything new, you know, they have to experiment a little bit. They'll taste something, and there's a little bit of a puzzlement on their face if they're tasting something for the first time. They don't know whether they like it or not. And then they make up their mind, they go ahead with it. Now, that's, I believe, why he's using the word taste here, just to stay with that imagery. If so be you've tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Verse 4. Verse 4 begins a sentence that will continue through the end of verse 5. Verse 4, to whom coming as unto a living stone, that is, you're coming to the Lord, you're tying that to whom, the whom is going back and referring to the Lord in verse 3, to whom coming as unto a living stone. A stone that is alive? You say, well, that's weird. Yeah, but it's more than just a figure of speech. Disallowed indeed of men, that is, rejected, but chosen of God and precious. I suppose you could say the scenario would be like this. They're getting ready to build a large stone building, and they just don't bring in a truckload of stone and dump it off, and the masons go to applying mortar in a plumb line and, you know, slopping the mortar around with their trowels, and there it is. These stones have to be cut and quarried. They have to be shaped to the approximate size and shape that is going to be necessary for the building, for the architecture, for the design of the building. And as these stones are cut, they're taken to the building site and stacked, set aside, and usually, back then, there was a reason for it, being the stone being where it was. Now, the imagery here is, here you've got the workman. The architect has called for a particular stone to go in a particular place, and they're looking around, and the day laborers can't find it. No, that's not it. No, that can't be it. They're looking right at it, but they don't recognize it for what it is. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, and precious. Ye also as lively, or living stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. It's interesting. There are several things that you'll find consistent between Peter and Paul in their writing. I cannot help but notice the similarity, not in the wording so much as in the general content between what Peter says here in chapter 2 and what the Apostle Paul tells the Ephesians in chapter 4. Let's see, if just for grins, I just want to whip over there just for a moment. When he says, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, and goes on, you'll note in chapter 4, starting with verse 2, notice how similar the material is between chapter 1 and chapter 2 of 1 Peter and chapter 4 in the book of Ephesians. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off, Peter said, laying aside. He says here, put off. You get the same imagery concerning the former conversation or lifestyle, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Well, you were told to put away guile or deceit in verse 1 of 1 Peter chapter 2. You see the idea of that which is corrupt here, correlating to what Peter said in chapter 1 in 1 Peter. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away, here we have putting away instead of laying aside, but same thing. Putting away lying, speak every man truth to his neighbor, members one of another, be angry, sin not, let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. And as you move down through here, you find it's the same kind of a thing. You will note also that while there are similarities between what these men are writing, there is also more than just this idea of laying things aside. For instance, you'll remember in verse 2, he talks about his newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. All right, the idea of growth. If you look at, again, Ephesians chapter 4, and you look at the gifts that the Lord gives to the church, starting with verse 11, he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Notice, please, why they were given. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. The word perfect means mature. Don't want to get into this too deep here in Ephesians because we've already gone through the book of Ephesians. And if you weren't with us for that study and are interested in it, by all means contact me and we can make those programs available to you on CD or on audio cassette. But if you continue looking at this business here in verse 13, until you come unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, and it goes on, notice please that ye may grow thereby. And then as you move down through here, this idea of lively or living stones build up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. Acceptable to God. Wait a minute. I find that Paul, in talking to the Ephesians, talks about our being made accepted in the beloved. Now, I don't want to go taking too much time hopping back and forth between Ephesians and 1 Peter, but you get the idea. What you're finding in the scripture is not that you have somebody writing something here that is radically different from what anyone else has said, but rather the idea of edifying the believer, of the Christian growth, is something that is universally held by all the writers of scripture. As you move through here, you'll note in verse 5, ye also as living stones, lively, it says in the King James, are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood. Now, a priesthood, a priest is one who offers up a sacrifice. Now, here you will notice it says a spiritual, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Now, I thought, well, I'll just go ahead and look this up in a Greek lexicon and see what Mr. Thayer has to say about it. In Thayer's lexicon, it had this to say about it. The acts of a life dedicated to God and approved by Him due to the influence of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is something that I think we probably ought to expand on a little. You're living in a curious time when people are, on the one hand, terribly rebellious against the Word of God and the standards that it sets, and at the same time, in the circles of contemporary Christianity, there is a lot of talk about worshiping God and praising Him and offering praise to God. Now, it's a curious thing that you should talk about offering sacrifice to God, even if it's the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, and at the same time have such a loose attitude toward the Word of God. In John chapter 14 and verse 15, Jesus said, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." Three times, and I've made reference to this before, three times in chapter 14, beginning with verse 15 in the book of John, John 14, verse 15, you'll find, in addition to verse 15, verse 21, verse 23, all three occurring here in chapter 14, this idea of obedience as being that form of manifestation that a person has for the love of Christ. Now, if you're going to love the Lord, you want to do what He says. And you'll notice here the sacrifices that are to be offered up by this holy priesthood are to be spiritual sacrifices. Well, people say, oh yes, well, our praise is spiritual. Really? What makes it so? Well, you know, it's a spirit. No, wait. You will note here that the contextual meaning of spiritual sacrifices within 1 Peter chapter 2, the acts of a life dedicated to God. Now, there are people that make cheap talks. Oh, yeah, well, I've dedicated myself to the Lord. Uh-huh. Then why do you use the language you do? Why do you tell the stories? Why do you tell the jokes you do? Why is it that you listen to the music you do? Why do you go to the places you go? Why do you take the forms of entertainment that you do? Dedicate it to Him. Be very careful, friend. Be very careful. The acts of a life dedicated to God and approved by Him due to or because of the influence of the Holy Spirit. Not the flesh. No, not that at all. But rather the influence of the Holy Spirit on that person's life. Ye also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. You will notice, please, that's a job description. That shows a specification in design. That's what you're designed to do. Well, I must stop here with the end of verse 5. We'll pick it up here on our next session. I hope you'll join me then as we continue our study in 1 Peter to see what the Bible says.